And I'd like to know how many of you brought your hymnal? How many of you have your hymnal with you? Oh, that's very good. Okay. Take out your hymnal. We will need your hymnal. If you have it on, if you only have the electronic version, that's fine. But we're going to sing some hymns later. And so you need your hymnal. You need your hymnal. This is a very precious outline to conclude the summer school concerning the outlines. We still have a special fellowship tonight for all of you with the middle schoolers, and that will be the capstone or the top stone. Maybe I should put it this way. That will be the last evening meeting. I think the capstone should be your prophesying tomorrow morning.
Amen.
So I hope that you can prepare your prophesying in your small groups and in your cabin times, and maybe earlier in the morning before we have the Lord's table, spend some time with the Lord to write out what you want to share and prepare your prophesying. That should be a rich, rich time of ministering the Lord's word to one another.
Amen.
Speaking to one another, right? That's a good opportunity. Okay, this outline is on consecration and preserving our whole being for life. And I feel to cover the matter of preserving our whole being first, and then to come back to the matter of consecration. So, concerning preserving our whole being for life, write this down. In God's salvation, He is saving our entire being. In God's salvation, He is saving our entire being. And He wants to make, semicolon after that, being, semicolon, and wants to make us complete and perfect. Write that down. He is saving our entire being, semicolon, wants to make us complete and perfect. Right? And we know that God created us in three parts, so to save our entire being means that he wants to save our spirit and soul and body. So let us recite 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the main verse for this matter of preserving our whole being for life. And let's repeat the last half again. May your spirit and soul. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May be preserved complete without blame, no defect, complete and perfect, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 4, the chapter before this, verse 4, which I think is a memory verse as well. Let's read that together. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Maybe it wasn't a memory verse. Okay, look at that. Let's read it together. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. God is preserving us complete. He is saving us complete. But we have to cooperate. We have a responsibility. And we, each one of us, right, we need to know how to possess our own vessel in sanctification and honor. And our vessel is a three-part vessel. We need to know how to preserve our body, how to preserve our soul in sanctification and honor, and how to preserve our spirit in sanctification and honor. This is, from our perspective, how much we need to know. Let's look at the outline. Let's read it all together. In God's full salvation, our entire being is saved and made complete and perfect. Sorry, I messed up. One more time. For in God's salvation, our entire being is saved and made complete and perfect. For this, God is preserving our spirit from any deadening element, and our soul from remaining natural and old, and our body from the ruin of sin. Such a preservation by God and His thorough sanctification sustain us to live a holy life unto maturity, that we may lead the Lord in His parousia. Okay? And then B, that so A is related mostly to our spirit. 1, 2, 3, and 4 is related to our spirit. B is related to our soul, which is here signified by our psychological heart with the three main arteries, mind, emotion, and will. And then our body is number 4 under B. So this portion is covering the details of how we need to be preserved complete, okay? So the first item is, how do we preserve our spirit, right? So brothers, read 1. Our spirit is composed of 3 parts, the conscience, the fellowship, and the intuition. Our spirit is mainly for us to fellowship with God. When we have fellowship with God, we contact. Now, 2 is very crucial, and I want you to underline this. Sisters, read it to us. The first way to preserve our spirit is to exercise our spirit. And we saw in this summer school, exercising the spirit is to exercise the 3 functions of the spirit. So your fellowship with the Lord, your personal fellowship, that's the way to exercise the spirit. Your following the anointing, that's the intuition. Amen. That is the way to exercise your spirit, and that is the way to preserve your spirit. Amen. In sanctification and honor. And your conscience, to take care of any feeling in the conscience related to sin, that confession and repenting is the way to exercise your spirit. And that will preserve your spirit in sanctification and honor. Okay? Now, B, let's read it all together. Our psychological heart has 3 main arteries. These arteries, which are also the 3 parts of our soul, are the mind, the will, and emotion. The way to unclog the 3 main arteries of our psychological heart is to make a thorough confession to the Lord. Now, this is a little bit different than just our conscience confessing our sins, but there are things that clog our heart, clog our mind, clog our emotions, that clog our will and frustrate our mind, emotion, and will from expressing the Lord and from being useful to the Lord and from being preserved. Satan wants to damage our soul by clogging it. So this is the illustration here, or the view here about arteries, right? Our physical heart has many arteries, and if an artery gets clogged, you can ask Brother Ola, that's dangerous. That could kill us. That could very well kill us. And so, of course, today, with modern science and the marvelous medical profession, you know, you can be saved. You can get, but it's not easy. You have to have open heart surgery to get saved. They have to unclog your arteries. So that's very serious. But it's also very serious for our psychological heart to be clogged. You have to be exercised. You have to be careful. So, for this, we also need a kind of a thorough confession. So, one of the arteries of our heart is our mind. And in number 1, it mentions this, in our thinking. This is where Satan's attacking, right? In our mind, in our thoughts. We need to confess our thoughts one by one. When we have evil thoughts, we have dirty thoughts, we have thoughts that Satan puts that dart right into us. Right. If we reject it right away, there's no need to confess. The problem is we entertain that thought. and we think about it.
And
we even elaborate, well, what would happen if I did that and I did this? And, you know. So that's what we need to repent for and confess one by one, to remove the blockage from our mind. Then two is about our will. This is quite striking, Brotherly's utterance here. If we go to the Lord concerning our will, He will expose it in a thorough and detailed way. Of course, this means we need to take the time to behold Him. We have to open to Him, even open our will to Him. We shall realize that we are very rebellious, that we do not know what it means to be submissive to the Lord. And one by one, we need to confess the germs of rebellion in our will. In this Memorial Day conference, I mentioned this, about the obstacles to our growth in life. And one of the obstacles is rebellion. And Brother Lee gave these examples of not this kind of open rebellion like Korah, you know, rebelled against Moses and so the earth swallowed him up. But he uses this very practical example in our daily life that when we have an anointing, when we have the sense in our spirit to say something to someone or to pray in the Lord's table meeting or to come up to or to stand up and prophesy in the Lord's table meeting, when we have a little feeling like that, if we don't obey it, you know what that is? Rebellion. God is speaking to you. You need to function. And if we don't function, if we don't respond to that feeling within, then that disobedience is rebellion. We need to confess that. Then our emotion. I think we all know we love things God hates, and we hate things God loves. And that's a problem with our emotion. It clogs our emotion. So we need to spend the time to unclog the emotion and confess these things. Now, let's read four together related to our body. To preserve our body first requires that we do not live according to our soul. To preserve our body also requires that we do not present any member of our body to anything that is sinful. As long as we are living on this earth, we need to preserve our body. In 1 Thessalonians 4, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. The verse before this, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication." The first thing is don't live by your soul. That is, don't live by your own desires and wills and the lusts of your flesh. Don't live by what you think is best, what you think you should do. But also, we have to be very careful that we not present our members to anything sinful. This is in 1 Corinthians. In the past, we presented our members to sin. Now we need to present our members to God, to live to God, to consecrate ourselves. So you have to be careful. And you know, I think we all realize that in this age of godlessness, it's very, very dangerous, very difficult for us to present our bodies to sinful things, to drinking parties, to, you know, drug use. And this verse mentions to fornication. That's why we have this regulation in the summer school. And Brotherly talked about this to us many, many times, that, you know, we should not be alone with a member of the opposite sex. Never in a closed room alone. We should not be alone. So we have this regulation. We don't want a brother and sister going off somewhere and talking. That's presenting your body to the wrong thing. You know? And if you open yourself to those kinds of things, we all have flesh. We're still in the flesh. And don't think, oh, it never happened to me. It's just not true. It's just not true. Can happen to any one of us. That temptation is much too strong. The lust of the flesh is much too strong for us to overcome. So we need to preserve ourselves and not present. Don't give any opportunity for the flesh. In Romans, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always wondered why this last part of the verse. And make no provision for the flesh. Isn't it good enough to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's wonderful. But Paul warned us, make no provision for the flesh. That means don't give it any opportunity. We need to be careful. Amen. Not to give it any opportunity. Amen. Make no provision for the flesh.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, we come to my main burden, which is consecration. Amen. I'd like you to open to Exodus 21, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 21, verses 5 and 6. This is a story about a slave. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel, of course, I think we all know this, they were enslaved in Egypt. But when God brought them out of Egypt, when He raised up Moses to bring them out, they were no longer slaves.
Amen.
They were free.
Amen.
They were God's people.
Amen.
And that was His desire, never to be enslaved. That was God's intention. But what happened in their history is that if they didn't take care of their responsibility, to, you know, every tribe was allotted a portion of the good land. And the good land is very rich and very bountiful and plenteous, but you still had to till the ground. You still had to plant the crops. You still had to weed them. You had to labor on the land to raise up the food and to raise the herds for the sacrifices and for food for your family. You had to take care of your responsibility. But some of them were lazy. And they squandered. They were lazy. They didn't raise up enough food for the family. And they squandered away the money buying it every year to try to feed the family. It's an agrarian society there. They're not going to work, you know, on the computer and make money.
Right.
You got to raise up food. You got to grow it.
Yeah.
You got to till the ground. You have to mine the hills for the metals, you know, silver and gold, precious metals. You have to work. But some did not work. They were lazy. And so the only way they could survive was to sell themselves into slavery to other Jews, to other Israelites. But God's provision was every seventh year was a Sabbath. And you could only be enslaved for that amount of time. And on the seventh year, you could go out free. You could not be enslaved more than those 6 years. But this in chapter 21 of Exodus shows, but if you love your master, and if you got married while you were a slave in that tribe, in that household, you married a wife and had children. When you went out free, you couldn't take the wife and children. That was the law. That was God's law. But you could be free. You don't have to be a slave. But if you love your master and you love your wife and your children, you could voluntarily give yourself to your master. You could consecrate yourself to him for the rest of your life. And that's what this story is talking about. Okay? So verses 5 and 6, let's read together. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to God and shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This is a marvelous picture of consecration. The Lord is our master, but we can go out free. He's not forcing us to consecrate ourselves to Him. But if you love Him, you want to serve Him, then you voluntarily can give yourself to Him. And one aspect of living a life of consecration is that your ear is bored through with an awl. Sounds odd, huh? You've got to get your ear pierced. And your ear is pierced to the door of the Master. And we're not talking about there, it's physical. Here we're talking about spiritual. What does that mean? It means that in this Exodus 21, a slave, a servant of the Master, is always just waiting there at the door for the Master's command. He doesn't do his own will. He doesn't do his own thing. He waits for the Master to tell him what to do. If we give ourselves to the Lord, we need to give ourselves in this way. We would pay attention to the Lord speaking. Amen. Our ear would always be open to the Lord.
Amen.
If He wants us to speak in the meeting, we would obey. If He wants us to serve in the church, we would obey. He is the source of what we should do. You know, Paul, when he was saved, he only had these two questions. Who are you, Lord? And what shall I do, Lord? His ear was always open. And we should have the same kind of consecration. And this is a very precious portion. And we have hymns about this, and we're going to sing them in a minute. We have hymns about this, that the servant could put, you know, his ear to the doorpost. The other main verses are 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Open your Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Let's read these verses together. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we have judged this, that one died, therefore all died, and those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to Him who died for them and has been raised. The basis of consecration is because God has purchased us. We are bought with a price, and we are not our own. And we have hymns like this. I am not my own, right? But the motive of consecration is love, is God's love toward us, and our loving response to Him. And these verses talk about this. The love of Christ constrains us. It limits us. It's like a walls that close us in. The love of God constrains us. And His love is seen in His death, that one died for all. Therefore, all died. We were included in Christ's death. So that those who live, that's us, may no longer live to ourselves. And that's somewhat related to not according to our soul. We no longer live to ourselves, but to Him who died for us and has been raised. So the motive of our consecrating ourselves to the Lord and the continuing supply for our consecration and living a life to Him, a life of consecration, is love. Write that down. The motive for us to consecrate is love. And the supply for us to continually live to the Lord, a life of consecration, is also love. And like our brother shared yesterday, the first thing, the most important thing, is that we would love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Now, I want you to write this down. Consecration is a gate, and it is also a way or a path. In other words, the first time you consecrate yourself to the Lord, you're opening the gate.
Right.
You're opening the door to let the Lord, to give yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
But then you have a whole Christian life to live. So now there's a path of consecration. There's a way of consecration.
Yeah.
So now we need to live this consecration day by day. And sometimes the best way to do that is just morning by morning. Lord, thank you for another day. I consecrate myself to you today. I give this day to you. That's to walk on the way of consecration. Right. Now, the meaning of consecration, write this down. Ola, can you read Exodus 29, 22, and 24 for us? When Aaron was given the priesthood and his family to be the high priests, they offered a ram of consecration. Right. And in Exodus 29, it describes this. And this helps us to see what is the meaning of consecration.
Exodus 29,
yeah, 22 and 24.
Exodus 29, 22. You shall also take the fat from the ram, that is, the fat tail, and the fat that covers the inward parts, and the appendage of the liver, and the two kidneys, with the fat that is on them, and the right thigh.
Right.
For it is the ram of consecration.
The ram of consecration. You get the fat, you're going to offer it. Now go.
Then verse 23. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of unleavened bread that is before Jehovah.
Amen. And 24.
And you shall put all these in the palms of Aaron and in the palms of his sons.
Amen.
And wave them as a wave offering before Jehovah.
Okay, let's come on up here. This is Aaron. Come on, Daniel, you're Aaron. And these are your sons, all five sons. Come on up here. Okay. Okay. You come here and you stand a little bit in front. They're going to be... You can actually, yeah, just flank him. You know what I mean? Be on both sides. Okay. This is Aaron and his sons. And they're about to be consecrated as priests. And so, the priests take the ram of consecration and they dress it, kill it, and dress it. And they take these parts. And what do they do with it? I need some more books. Get us books. They fill the hands of Aaron. And they fill the hands. And they fill your hands. You got another one? I'm getting another book here. Yeah. Fill the hands. Okay. Now, we're going to offer a wave offering. That's an offering of resurrection. So we're going to wave it before the Lord. Wave it before the Lord. This is a picture of consecration. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you. I don't know who that takes in there over there. What does that mean? That means the meaning of consecration, write this down, is to fill the hands.
Amen.
If we are a consecrated person, our hands should be filled with Christ. This ram of consecration is just Christ. And the fat and all that just refers to the riches of Christ.
Amen.
We need to fill the hand. This really helped me when I came into the church life and I heard this for the first time. What are my hands occupied with? What am I doing? I should be being occupied with Christ. That's a consecrated person. So we need to fill the hands with Christ. Now, we want to take the next last part of this to go through. Open up your hymnals. And turn to hymn 431.
Hymn what?
431. Okay? 431. I think we all know this hymn, right?
Yes.
Let's sing verse 1 and verse 3. Thy mighty love, O God, constrain me. As some strong tide, it presses on its way. Seeking a channel in myself, so. Soul. yearning to sweep all barriers away. Verse 3. Break through my nature, mighty heavenly love. Clear every avenue of thought, rain. My affections purify will. Let nothing but thine own pure life remain. Now look at the heading on this hymn. What's the heading say? This is the section in your hymnal. This is the first hymn in the section of your hymnal on consecration. How many hymns do we have on consecration? I don't think any of you probably ever counted them. What's the last hymn number on the section? Four what? 473. So you subtract 431 from 473. 43. We have 43 hymns on consecration. I wanted to sing them all, but I don't think you know them all. Huh? Yeah, 432, the hymn 432. All right, but I want to just give you this point. So this hymn and the next hymn, 433, we're going to sing, are in the section on Constrained by the Lord's Love. So these hymns are written from 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Let's sing I Am the Lord's 433, and again, verses 1 and 3.
I am the Lord's, O joy beyond expression, O sweet response to joy of love divine. Faith's joyous yes to the assuring whisper, I have redeemed thee, thou art mine.
Verse 3.
I am the Lord's, bodily all it meaneth, all it involves of love and loyalty. Your deep service, absolute surrender, and unreserved obedience unto thee.
Very good. Let's look at 437. Let's just sing verse 1 in the chorus. Verse 1 in the chorus. I think we use the alternate tune for this one, right?
Hast thou heard him, seen him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart? Chief among 10,000 on him, joyful choose the better part. Captivated by his beauty, all his haste to bring, let his peerless worth strain thee. Crown him now unrivaled king.
Verse 6.
Is that look that melted Peter? 'Tis that face that Stephen saw. 'Tis that heart that wept with Mary, can alone from idols draw. Captivated by his beauty, the tribute hope to bring. Let his peerless worth constrain thee. Crown him now unrivaled king.
Very good. Who knows the portion of the word that this was written from? From Mary, yeah. The heart that wept with Mary. Also Peter, when he denied the Lord and then the Lord looked at him. That melted him, right? These hymns are coming from the writer's touch with the Lord's word. Write that down. All these hymns are the expressions of dear believers' experiences of Christ. So by reading the word, reading these stories about Peter being melted and Stephen seeing the Lord. Stephen's consecration was so absolute. He was martyred, right? And Mary, the heart that wept with her, the writer of this hymn was touched by this, and so he wrote this hymn of consecration, and the subheading is attracted by the Lord's beauty. Okay, then let's go to 441. Some of you may not know this hymn. Hymn 441. I surrender all. A little faster. Da 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 da. Dee da da da. Yeah.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Verse 3,
all to Jesus I surrender, I am Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Jesus, blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Singing this hymn many times, just broke my heart. And I gave myself to the Lord once again. These hymns are very, very touching. I surrender all. 445, a famous hymn by Francis Havergal. We all know this one. Let's sing verses 1 and 2.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee.
This is written from that portion in Exodus about what do we do with our hands? They should be filled with Christ. And our feet, our voice, our silver, our gold, all the details, our moments and our days. This hymn is very, very touching. The one before I surrender all, I was thinking maybe referring to Zacchaeus when he got saved. And he gave all, right? Half to the poor and fourfold. He surrendered all to the Lord. Okay, one of the verses is Romans 12:1. Right? We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. So a hymn 448, I think, may have been written from that verse is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. The alternate tune. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know that one? 448. No, the hymnal tune. Yeah. Hymnal tune. Have you longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed? But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only have rest and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. And then the next one, 449. That's the alternate tune. 449. This one probably. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Verse 4. Have thine own way, Lord. Always living in me. That could have been written from 2 Corinthians 5 again. Then 1 Corinthians 6:20, we were bought with a price. 452, I am not my own. A little faster. Da-dee-da-da-da-da-da. Tell me not of earthly pleasures, tempt me not with sordid gain, mock me not with earth's illusions, vex me not with honors vain. I am weaned from sinful idols, I am henceforth not my own. I have given my heart to Jesus. I belong to Him alone. I am not my own. I am not my own. I belong to Jesus, and I am not my own. This is a wonderful one. I like the spirit of this hymn. It is very strong. Yeah. Tempt me not. Tell me not. Amen. Vex me not. Yeah. I belong to Jesus. Amen. So you get lost.
Amen.
I'm not my own.
Amen.
I love that hymn. Okay, we have a few more. We're not going to sing them all, but 463 and 464 are written from this Exodus 21 about putting our ear, right? I love my master. 463. Dee, dee, da, da, dee. A little faster. Go out free, for he is my redeemer. He gave the price for me. I would not hate his service. It is so sweet and blessed. And in the weariest moments, he gives the truest. Verse 3. I would not have my service. His only it must be. His only who so loved me and gave himself for me. Rejoicing and adoring, henceforth my song shall be. I love my master. I will not go out free. 464, you may not know. Play it through once. Da, da, da. Let's sing verses 1 and 2. My glorious victor, Prince divine, clasp these surrendered hands in thine. At length my will is all thine own, glad vassal of a Savior's throne. My master, lead to thy door, pierce this now willing ear once more. Thy bonds are freed, let me stay with thee to toil, endure. Oh, verse 3 and 4. Yes, ear and hand and thought and will, use all in thy dear slave still. Self's weary liberties I cast beneath thy feet, there keep them fast. Tread them still down, and then I know these hands shall with thy gifts o'erflow, and pierced ears shall hear the tone which tells me thou and I are one. This is a marvelous hymn. Okay, the last one's 469. Who is on the Lord's side? This is from the story of the golden calf, and when Moses came down and they had made the calf of gold and were worshiping it, he had them destroy it, and then he opened the gate and said, whoever's on the Lord's side, come. Amen. And the tribe of Levi came. Who is on the Lord's side? Let's sing this with a chorus. Just verse 1. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy grand redemption,
by thy grace divine. We are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine.
Hallelujah. Let's read verse 5. Chosen to be soldiers in an alien land, chosen, called, and faithful for our captain's band. It is service royal. Let us not grow cold. Let us be quite loyal, noble, true, and bold. And the last one, 473, no mortal tongue can e'er describe the freedom of the soul. Let's sing this verse 1 together.
No mortal tongue can e'er describe the freedom of the soul. When passing on earthly pride to God's complete control, all things are His, yes, life and death, present or to come. In Christ He draws in peace each breath. In Christ He finds His home.
Verse 3.
Arise, the holy bargain strike, the fragment for the whole. O men and all events alike must serve the ransomed soul. All things are yours when you are His, and He and you are one. A boundless life in Him there is, whence doubt and fear are gone.
These are marvelous hymns. I hope that you would enjoy them this coming year, get into them, and really touch the words and the feeling in all of these hymns. Amen. Let's close by praying. I think we can pray out loud. Just one sentence. If you want to consecrate yourself to the Lord, you can do that. If you want to pray to the Lord, just to open to Him. But let's follow one another and spend these last 5 minutes together just to pray. Amen. Pray openly and follow one another in prayer. Amen.
Amen.